Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Hey, 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 good morning everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is, as the man says, Brilliant Ideas Radio and your humble host, Brilliant Ideas, that's me. And we're here for another Saturday morning radio show for our foodie friends, and hopefully you're all here listening in on us this morning. First thing, let me announce, we are still having technical difficulties here on good old Blog Talk Radio. So first of all, let me apologize in advance that we may be having issues during the show today. It's been a problem for several weeks, and Blog Talk Radio is trying to address everyone's problems. There's a mutiny going on now. A lot of the hosts are threatening to leave because of issues they're having, but we're limping along here. We seem to be able to get the show out, even with the technical difficulties. But we apologize in advance. If you're having problems logging in to hear the show, you can always listen to the replays. I've tried to listen to replays, and sometimes they don't load. So just so you know, everyone, they're aware of it. They're trying to fix it. But be patient, and we'll try to hang in here for the next hour and a half with our show. This week we have our normals. Well, I'm not sure we're normal, but our normals, we have Laurie. Laurie, you're not supposed to laugh. You're on mic. we have Laurie, the food news, Jersey style girl. Hello, Laurie. Good morning.
Good morning. You're supposed to tell me. Anyway, I didn't say anything bad.
Yeah, I had to cue up your mic because since things aren't working, you're going to be live the rest of the day. So just remember, be very, very quiet because we're hunting rabbits. Yeah, so we're going to have Hank Bob, a.k.a. Aaron Smith, our co-host, join us later. He's on location in the sticks of Florida somewhere doing a music video with Sunset Circus. And Sunset Circus is a country music band that was on with us about 2 months ago, I think it was, and they're a great band. And he's going to be using his video expertise to be shooting videos, and they're doing a music video, which should be pretty cool. So he's got a big party going on somewhere in Florida in the sticks, so Heath City be stopping in on location just to say hello and give us an update about the video and Sunset Circus. And we will be joined shortly here with Katarina Borg, Kitty Cat, and she'll be sharing some, I'm sure, sexy, sweet desserts with us. And later on at 9, we have, who do we have, Laurie? Oh, yeah, we have Natalie Dupree.
Natalie? Hmm?
Yes, and she's joining us. And Natalie is, well, you'll see, she's up to a lot of things. She's a busy, busy lady and has cookbooks and TV shows and what have you. And then after that, if everything works on Blog Talk Radio, we have Todd Berry joining us. He's a country music singer, and Todd's got some really good music. So that's the lineup. And Laurie, you're on until we bring on Kitty Cat. What kind of news do you have? You've only got about 5 minutes to give us some kind of news. You want to talk about wine or news this morning?
Oh, you know what, then? I'll just, if I only have 5 minutes, I'll talk about wine real quick, because the next story that I have is a little long, so you might cut me off. So I think I'll just talk about the wine, because
all right.
I had a wonderful, delicious Merlot, And it was actually from Chile instead of California.
From where?
It was Chile.
Oh, because your phone cut out. Chile. Oh, wow.
Oh, it was really... Do you hear me okay now?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. It was really good. Me and my mom went to... we have ShopRite's here on the East Coast, and they also have ShopRite Liquors. So we took a ride, and we wanted to buy some different wines. And I saw this, I mean, for $7, it's called VSE. It's Vera San Esteban. And I'm telling you, anyone who likes those California Merlots, for this price, for $7, I think it was like $6.99 or it might have been $7.99, I forget now, but around $7, it's 2010. It was so good. And I'll read what they write on the back, and then I'll just describe how I felt the flavors were. But it says on the back of the wine, it said, "The sunny days and the night breezes of Chile's Central Valley allows to reach an optimal ripeness in our Merlot. This smooth-bodied wine expresses the red fruit and spicy aromas that characterize its variety." My description of the wine would be that it has a nice, it has a very creamy texture, that, you know, that Merlot texture. It's kind of spicy, a little peppery, a lot of those dark berries, and then it had like a whipped cream flavor at the end.
Huh.
I know. And you know what? My mom, I'm trying to get her to start drinking a little bit of wine with me at night, so she actually enjoyed it. So she said it was really a nice drink for her.
So you and mom can get loopy together, huh?
Yeah. My dad is still trying to, you know, be here with us to toast a little bit with his scotch. He always was a scotch drinker, and he likes that arak. I think I had mentioned it's a Middle Eastern drink, a cordial. So, yeah, he has a little bit of that. But I got my mom now trying to chime in to have a little bit. So, yeah, she really enjoyed it. And I just think it's a very friendly wine. So,
VSE?
VSE, Victor Sam Eddie. Vera San Esteban. And it's a chili wine. So,
all right.
I'm sure if they Googled it, they could find it. Yeah, very inexpensive and an easy drink.
It's a chili wine. Well, if you don't put it in the refrigerator, would it be chili? That's a bad
course.
Joke. Anyway. All right. Well, what we'll do is we're going to bypass any food news right now since we do have quite a lineup today. And we have Katarina calling in, as we call her, Kitty Cat. And I'm going to try to patch in. Yeah, I'm trying to patch her in here. Everybody who's not familiar with Kitty Cat, she has a website that's called goodfoodgourmet.com. And she comes on here every once a month and shares a little bit of her sweet dessert goodness on the show. And Kitty Cat, I'm trying to get you on here, but Blog Talk Radio is not... Here we go. I think I have you. Good morning, Kitty Cat. Are you there?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you fine.
Oh,
welcome
all
to
right. Hi, doll.
Hi, my beautiful friend.
How are you?
Hi, Katarina.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, I totally agree with you for about Chilean wines. I was there in 2003, I think it was. It was 2003 or 2004. And we had an opportunity to travel through a lot of the Chilean vineyards. And one thing that I didn't know was that they export their best wines. They don't keep them in the country, which is one of the things a lot of other countries do. They keep their best wines and then export, you know, wines that are as good, but the ones that are more well-known, they keep them in the country, but they do the complete opposite, and they export their better wines. And we visited some of their facilities, and the wineries are absolutely gorgeous. And the wines that I tasted, which were the ones that are considered more domestic, were fabulous. So I can't even imagine what the ones taste like that are exported. I haven't picked up any. I've been so focused on French wines the last 3 months.
Yeah, that's true.
with my trip coming up in April to France, and kind of studying the country and pretty much the lay of the land, and really focusing more on French food. And so, Chilean wines haven't been on the menu, but hopefully, sometime soon I'm going to get to try some of those. But that is so true. It's So
well,
true.
By the way, ladies, I'm just noticing on the back of my bottle of Big Kahuna wine, it's a product of Spain. So obviously Spain sends their best wines to America too.
Well, like I said, I don't know how it works with other, you know, countries. I mean, I know France is completely different, you know, in their export procedures and their regulations. And but I'm sure, you know, each country has their own, you know, rules and what they choose to keep, you know, in-house and what they choose to export. But fabulous products. Highly recommend them. But I wanted to thank you before we kind of jump into our segment, Frank. You considered me part of your normal category.
Well, no, I caught myself. I did say normal, but then I caught myself. So you got lucky. You slid into the normal.
But thank you for that. That really made my day and set the tone, I think, for the show.
Well, you're welcome.
But today we're talking about Lenten desserts, and you know Lent isn't really one of those seasons where you know we like to indulge. I mean, after Lent we indulge, and before Lent we indulge. But the 40-day period leading up to Easter is, you know, kind of a somber time. But you know, in historical times, it used to be a much more stringent time where people really were not eating, you know, meat or you know, poultry or animal meats of any kind, or even fish with spine. A fish with a spine was kind of out of the mix.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wait,
what
yeah,
do you mean?
And
like,
and
they eat eels or something. They eat eels, and that was about it. I mean, what fish doesn't have a spine?
Well, no. I mean, there's a lot of other things. I mean, you think about, you know, shrimp and crab and lobsters and you know scallops and things like that. But fish with shrimp were kind of, you know, off the menu, and they would follow this daily. But now it's, you know, much more lenient. They really time they only ask you to fast, and this is if you're, you know, you follow the Christian belief or even the Eastern Orthodox beliefs, so pretty much in line with the mainstream Catholicism.
Well, can I stop you for a second, interrupt you one second? I am not a real religious guy. I guess in my past I was, but honestly, I don't understand the Catholic religion that well, and I mean, this is probably a bad joke at this time, but Lent to me was something that you found in your dryer, but I didn't understand what Lent was. And,
well,
and Laurie
it's not
and I,
Lent.
Laurie and
it's
I, well,
Lent.
Well,
it's
Laurie and I talked about it. I know. Laurie and I talked about it this past week, and I didn't understand exactly what Lent was, and she explained it to me because she understands these things. And I guess then it dawned on me, is that why McDonald's is having two fish fillets for $3 on Friday?
I told you, it's probably. Because I'm proud of it.
Well, the thing is, I'm not Catholic, but I was raised in Catholic schools my whole life. I mean, from the time
really?
I could walk until all the way through high school, I was really fortunate in, you know, being able to you know, go to private schools my whole life, and you know, Mom made sure that we had, you know, the best education that was around at the time, and in the area where we lived, and it was definitely the private schools that offered a better, you know, a better start, and so, you know, I was a Greek Orthodox kid amongst all these little Catholic girls, and you know, I wanted to do my first communion and my confirmation and everything along with them, and of course I couldn't, so I used to kind of sit along the sidelines when they were, you know, doing their thing. But, you know, having grown up in the Catholic religion, and then it kind of realizing that it mirrors a lot of, you know, the beliefs that we have in the Greek Orthodox Church, and
right.
And so one really kind of follows suit with the other. So it really wasn't anything kind of out of the ordinary in terms of what we believed. But Lent is just, it's a season of penance and prayer before Easter. And, you know, it's a time where I think people of belief, you know, or faith, really try to kind of reflect on their lives and, you know, the excesses in their lives and kind of try to bring them more in line with, kind of where they need to be spiritually and in their hearts and in their souls. So,
well, see, what I got to figure out, here's what I'm trying to figure out, how you're going to take that subject, throw in dessert, and make a sexy story out of it.
Well, that's a tough thing. I mean, it is really a tough thing. And you know, and I'm really glad actually that it's gotten a little bit more lenient than it used to be historically, because people used to eat conservatively during Lent and give up all of these things, you know, on a daily basis. And now really the only thing that's asked of you is if you're a person of faith, is, you know, that you modify your diet on Ash Wednesday and then Good Friday. And then if you choose to kind of follow suit, you know, the rest of the time, then you can. But for me, being in the food industry and, you know, food being such a large part of what I do, I mean, it's everything that I do. Wherever I go, it's please taste this, please try this, tell me what you think, or I'm trying recipes, you know, or whipping things up that I want to ultimately share with my audience, and I can't not try them. So it's very, very difficult for me. And then, you know, the other part was when I started doing my research for Lenten desserts, one of the things that kind of falls more in line with these types of desserts are vegan desserts. And I don't know if you've ever had a vegan product before, but I was a vegetarian for 13 years, and I tried to be a vegan, and that lasted for 5 minutes, literally, because I was traveling so much at the time, and, you know, eating out at restaurants and business meetings and what have you, and, you know, you'd go to a restaurant and order something that was, you know, totally dairy-free, and they'd look at you like you had three heads. And, I mean, this was, you know, a completely different time. Nowadays, right, it's much more common. You've got restaurants that are, you know, built, you know, created and built under that type of idea. And, you know, there are people out there that follow that. And now you've got, you know, the gluten-free and, you know, all of this other. Before, we were kind of dealing with more low-fat, you know, or sugar-free
right.
types of things. And now you've got this whole other end of the market. So when, you know, I started to try to come up with some ideas that I wanted to share with you all, I thought, well, you know, vegan is definitely something that kind of falls more in line with what we really need to be doing during Lent. And, you know, it's not the type of thing that I want to say to people, hey, you know, just forget it and go out there and indulge. I mean, I think you have to be, you know, in this day and age, it's all about tolerance and respect. And, you know, I think the more tolerant and respectful we are of each other's, you know, beliefs, I think the better we all are going to be in terms of getting along. So instead of just saying, hey, forget it, you know, just eat what the heck I'm, you know, what I'm making and, you know, this lavish and decadent dessert, instead of saying, well, hey, let me create something that falls more in line with what you believe. And
you know, that's my, you know, that's my credo. I always try to get along with everybody.
You do, and you do a great job.
Yeah,
and you called me normal.
Yeah, me too.
So what sexy sweets and desserts do you have for Lent that have to do with vegan?
Well, a couple of the things that I'm going to share are, you know, things that are tried and true recipes that, you know, we kind of fall out of a habit of doing, you know, like poached fruits, poached pears, made with like a spiked mixed wet nuts mixture, which is, you know, again, more traditional. I'm going to do one of those. Something that's a little bit more off the beaten track is I'm making a dessert enchilada, and that one is going to be for you, Frank.
I like that.
Because you're the big enchilada. So I just wanted to create a dessert enchilada, and I have one with using a flour burrito and fill it with a vegan chocolate cream and make a strawberry sauce, and it's baked in the oven. And absolutely delicious. So I hope everybody's going to enjoy that one. Cobblers are also great for Lent, you know, because you really aren't adding eggs or dairy or anything to it. You just chop up some fruit, add whether you want some sugar or honey, whatever spices you want, and top it with, you know, a streusel topping that doesn't have to have butter. All of the granola, I mean, if you really think about it, granola is made with oil, you know, oil, sugar, cinnamon, spices, that kind of thing, and it's baked in the oven. So you top it with, you know, a streusel topping made with oil instead of butter, and you're staying, you know, within the Lenten period. So, you know, something along those lines. So I'll include a dessert like that. One other thing that everybody loves is baklava. And I know, Lori, you know what baklava is because you and I have very similar backgrounds, you know. Lori's got a Lebanese background, and my parents were born and raised in Cairo. And so we've got that Middle Eastern connection. And, of course, baklava is made many times.
And, of course, the dummy who's the host of the show probably has no clue what baklava is.
You don't know what baklava is? You're kidding me. Really?
I do.
Oh, I was going to say, my God, that's like telling somebody I don't know what a donut is these days. Really? I mean, baklava is, you know, maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you'd come to this country and say, baklava, and people were like, what is that? But, I mean, now with all of these really great shows and great dessert places to eat, baklava is one of the more traditional things, but I'm going to be making it with a little bit of a twist. And in Greece, and this is something that a lot of people don't know, Greece is known for its yogurt, but it's not known for its butter. So a lot of the desserts are made with olive oil. And, you know, you've got the first press, the second press, and then as you continue to press the olives, the oil gets lighter and lighter. So they tend to make the desserts with the lighter colored oils, which you really don't taste in desserts. And I remember years ago watching a program where there was a Greek chef, and she was making galatoburiko, which is a custard. Well, this isn't a Lent dessert. The galatoburiko is not a Lenten dessert because it's a custard filled with in phyllo dough, and then you cover it with you coat the whole thing with syrup. But she was making it, and she was lining it with olive oil. And I thought to myself, how gross would that be? And I didn't think at the time, because this was, you know, way before I even got into the industry, that, of course, there are different presses. And so they were using a much lighter version. And, of course, you can make baklava to be within, again, the Lenten period. And but I'm going to do a little bit of a twist. And, of course, as I always do, so I'm going to be offering the baklava. But then there's
You're not talking about the chubby checker twist.
Well, you never know what goes on behind closed doors. There's a lot of twisting going on. But, anyway.
That was the show. I cannot believe I just said that. I cannot believe I just said that.
The other one is, have you ever had semolina desserts?
Yes.
Probably
to me.
Yes. Semolina is a flour, again, that's traditionally used in Greek desserts, Middle Eastern desserts, and we make in the Middle Eastern version is something called basbousa. And Laurie, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but you find it in a lot of the Middle Eastern desserts. And semolina comes in different grades. Like there's a coarse grind, and then there's a very, very fine grind. And the basbousa, when you bake it in the oven, it's made with the more coarser texture, so that when you bake it and then pour the syrup over it, you taste it has more
Less
of a
texture.
Like a nutty. Yeah, it's like a crunchy, almost like a crunchy cornmeal.
Oh, it
sounds
good.
Yeah. Okay.
Hello?
Just want to make sure you guys were there. Frank,
yes,
you still there?
I'm just drooling over here. I just listened.
Well, no, I actually have a recipe for that online. So I've already made the halva, I mean the basbousa in the oven. But the one that I haven't made, which I'm going to make during this period, is the what Greeks call the halva tou koutaliou, which means
You do this on purpose. You come on the show and you talk about all these crazy words and things that I can't even pronounce.
Well, no, but it, you know, somebody who is Greek will know exactly what I'm talking about. And this is a stovetop version of halva, the one that's baked in the oven, which is called basbousa. So the halva to kutaliu, which means halva by the spoon, is cooked on the stovetop, and you basically toast the semolina. You can do it in butter. I always prefer to do it in oil because I find that it stays moister. And then you add the syrup, and then it just becomes this just decadent, moist, nutty, fragrant. It's just so delicious, and you taste it, and you cannot imagine that it's something that is permitted during this period. It's so, so good. So I'm going to be sharing that with you all. Okay. And then, have you ever had a vegan coconut cream? Probably not.
No.
A lot of, you know, of course, this time of the year, we can't have anything dairy, whipped cream included. And when you're making these really great desserts, you want to be able to top it with something that is either ice cream or a whipped cream, and something that people who follow the vegan diet came up with this really great product, and it's so easy to make, and I'm just so surprised that most people don't eat it, because it's even healthier for you than it is to eat the whipped cream version. But what you do is you get a can of that full-fat coconut milk,
mm-hmm.
and you refrigerate it. And then when you open the can, you've got the whole, like all of the fat of the coconut milk kind of cold, pretty much intact on top. So
okay.
you spoon that out, and you put that in a bowl, and you whip it. And it's better than whipped cream. It is so good. And you add a little powdered sugar, whatever it is that you want to it, fruits, you know, grated chocolate, and you could just eat that, and it's almost like a mousse. It's so, so good.
Really?
Yeah, and you can use it as a garnish, or you could just eat it like that. I mean, it's healthier, you know. Anything
not fattening at all, right?
Well, listen, let me tell you, I really have so much to say about that, and we should really do a whole segment on low carb eating and dieting and things like that, because that is one of the biggest misconceptions. And in terms of how your body works and how your body processes energy. And I think that's a topic that we really should continue, because there's so many people that are out there that are dieting, especially, you know, this time of the year, to get into their bikinis and their shorts. And they're thinking that just by starving themselves, they're creating the right environment for their body to lose weight and be able to keep it off. And that's so not true. And, you know, a lot of people believe in moderation. I think that's wonderful if you could do that. But I don't know of too many people that could have a spoonful of, like, a really decadent chocolate cake and walk away. I mean, I know I can't. Can you?
No, I'll tell you that I've lost 35 pounds, and it has to do with moderation, but not, like, starving myself moderation. You know,
yeah, but, you know, it's much easier.
Instead of eating 5 ribs, I eat 2.
Yeah, but it's much easier for a guy. It's so much easier for a guy to lose weight than it is for a girl. I mean, really. You know, you cut out a couple of bottles of beer, and you know, at the end of the week, you've lost 15 pounds. No kidding. I'm not kidding. It's true. And but I think, yeah. And so, you know, but I think it's this whole, you know, and the last couple of years, I've been coming up with a great recipe for a cookie, and you and I have chatted about this, which is going to be a meal replacement cookie, and I wanted to launch it this year, but I just didn't have the time to do it. Now that I have a little bit more time, I'm going to shoot for next year, and it's based on a couple of different principles that, you know, are out there, but they just didn't really get the attention that they really deserved. And, you know, a lot of times it's maybe they just don't have the money to back, you know, more research or the money to back the marketing, or people just really aren't on the bandwagon about it. But there's a lot of really wonderful information out there about, you know, our health and how we can prevent ourselves from getting ill if we focus on, you know, certain types of techniques, and the fact that we can eat everything. We just have to understand how our body processes a little bit better. And I think that's one thing that people just you know, they're focusing more on the food that's bland and that's
right.
yucky and
right.
that, you know, it tastes like cardboard, and they're not trying to incorporate how their body works. And it's been a proven fact that, you know, we can heal so many things through our diet. And, you know, doctors really haven't jumped on that bandwagon, you know, as fast as I would like them to see. But I think it's getting better, especially when you've got, you know, people like Andrea Beeman, who is a friend of mine on Facebook, and she was on Top Chef. She was the natural foods chef, and I don't know if you follow the Top Chef program, but Andrea is awesome. She actually healed herself of thyroid disease, and and that's an article that she sent me a ton of information last year, and I'm almost ashamed to say that I had not had time to read it and get through it and write a great article on it. But it's so true, and it's one of the new things that is you know, I think doctors are more forced now to pay more attention to their diet and the incidence of thyroid disease, and they're seeing you know, other cancers declining, but thyroid disease is just shooting, skyrocketing, and they really don't know why. And I think if you have groundbreaking information to show that you can reverse that without having to have your thyroid removed, without having to have, you know, any kinds of, you know, radiation therapy or, you know, artificial hormone therapy in the future, then, you know, these are things that, especially us women, because the incidence of thyroid disease is skyrocketing in women, you know, is something that is going to, of course, help everybody. But, yeah, we just have to learn how to eat better in the sense that understanding how our bodies work. We can eat everything. It's just how we combine it. And what we choose to focus on, and how, you know, how we incorporate it in our day. You will lose weight, and you will melt.
And this announcement was brought to you by Dr. Boyd.
But I'm telling you, no, it is such a great idea. We have to do this in another show.
Yeah, we'll do this in another show. We go from Lent to sexy desserts, to losing weight, to back. Somehow we got to get back to your sexy desserts. I don't know how, but our time is running short, and I want to make sure everybody.
Well, but we ended with coconut cream, and you know, anything with cream is a good thing.
That's true.
Yes.
And I want everybody to go check out your website, which is goodfoodgourmet.com. You'll be posting all your new vegan style desserts when. Katerina?
Yes, they'll be. I'll be previewing all of them on the blog over the next couple of weeks. I mean, we've got 40 days, so I'll definitely be doing one, if not two, a week. You know, as much as I possibly can. I'm gearing up for my trip, so there's still lots to do. But and I'll be gone for 2 weeks. But it didn't coincide, unfortunately, with the radio program, because I would have loved to have been in France and done the show from there, but the dates didn't coincide. So
you just have to tell us all about it. I've decided for Lent, I'm going to give up Brussels sprouts for the next 40 days.
Not fair.
Shucks. And I have some great Brussels sprout recipes.
All right,
but we always have
you.
A blast, Frank.
Yes,
thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Bye,
Katerina.
You're the best one.
Bye, love. Thank you. Have a great show. Bye.
Thank you. All right, everybody, check out Katerina's website, goodfoodgourmet.com. I'm going to take a break. We'll be bringing on Natalie Dupree and Cynthia, and I'm going to probably mess up her last name, Grobert, I think is how you say it. And I'm going to try to get Blog Talk Radio here to work here. Laurie, you need to hang tight and be pretty quiet while the music's playing, because I have to leave your mic hot so that we don't lose you, and we bring our next guest, and I'm trying to get a song to go here. Please, come on. Bellamy Baylor, you're a good salesman. If this works, the shoot goes.
Taking about her current size.
back, and that was Bellamy Baylor. She was one of our guests a few months back, and that was her song, You're a Good Salesman. And by the way, before I forget, we're going to be setting up a new website as soon as I get off my butt and set it up, where you'll be able to go back and listen to old shows, but we're going to be listing it by guest, and it'll be a lot simpler to find some of your favorites or maybe some of the shows that you've missed. You can always hear the replays of all of our past shows on Blog Talk Radio, and as soon as I get the website set up, we'll be able to make it a lot more simple, and we'll be doing that in the next couple of months, getting that lined up. But check out our old shows. They're always great. We always have great talent like Bellamy Baylor, so check those out. And now if I can get the system working right, Laurie, I still have you, right?
You sure do.
All right, we got Laurie. Now we're going to try to bring on our guest. Our next guest, as I mentioned before, is Natalie Dupree and Cynthia Grobert, and I think I've said her name correctly, and they're coming on to talk about, the Southern cooking and all the things that Natalie Dupree has been up to. And let me see here. We're going to push some buttons here, and hopefully we will have Natalie. Natalie, we're trying to get things to work here at Blog Talk
Radio. I'm here.
Oh, there you are. All right. It's working. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Is Cynthia joining
feeling
us?
Feeling jazzy after listening to that music.
Is Cynthia going to be joining us?
She should be on. She was
all right.
On.
All right, hang on one second.
She emailed me that she was here.
Let me just make sure. Blog Talk Radio has been having issues for the last few weeks. They changed up their site, so all the hosts are going crazy. But let's see. I think we have Cynthia. Cynthia, are you there with us?
I'm here.
All right, it's working. Welcome to the show.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Say hello to our food news girl, Jersey style girl, Laurie. She's on the phone here with us too.
But nice to
Hi,
meet
Laurie.
You, Laurie.
Hello,
Laurie.
There. Welcome.
Well, ladies, welcome to the show. And Natalie, I'll say to you, when I go look at your website, you make me tired. But you got a lot going on, and. Thank you for taking a few minutes to come on our show. And I was just kind of going through your bio and looking at all the things you've been sort of a busy lady in the foodie world.
Yeah, I seem to keep my hand in. I like it. And then with this recent book with Cynthia, which is not even on my website, I don't think. In fact, I'm talking to someone about getting it on. Is our newest book, Mastering the Art of Southern Cooking. And Cynthia has kept me busy while she's been writing another book. It's kind of, she has all these things set up for me to do so that I won't notice that she's busy herself.
Well, Cynthia,
she's in the middle of a photo shoot today. Hmm?
The actual book is called Mastering the Art of Southern Cooking, and can you tell us, I guess one of you, Cynthia, you want to tell us a little bit about the book and what the book's all about?
This book was such a pleasure to do. Natalie and I go way back to when I was producing her new Southern Cooking series, and that was a groundbreaking series. We traveled around the South bringing great stories to the nation about Southern food, and as Natalie's career evolved and she kept going in Southern food and really being such a strong advocate and teacher of all things Southern, sort of in culmination of that came this idea to do this massive book. It weighs 6.5 pounds and
Wow.
It's 720
pages. We recommend
pages.
It for doing your weight lifts in the morning.
Yes, actually, if you buy two copies, one for each hand, and do your lifting that way, I think you can drop your gym membership and you'll be good to go.
Plus, you can start cooking every day.
Exactly. So this was really a culmination of all the great work that Natalie has done in promoting the foods of our region, and we put it all together in this book so we can educate, we can preserve the great techniques of our food, and we did it in 720 pages.
Wow. That's a lot. Now, it's packed with, I guess, stories and recipes in the book?
Yes, both stories and recipes and tips and techniques and all sorts of different slants on Southern cooking, such as historical quotes and references. For instance, people don't realize that gazpacho was in the Virginia Housewife, might have been one of its first printed versions in English that I can find. So wouldn't swear to that, but certainly one of the earliest. And so you think about that. My goodness, you know, gazpacho was known in the South in the 1800s and
wow.
earlier. So we've got that kind of information interspersed with the recipes to give people a feeling of the strength of the cuisine and the
right.
age of influencing that it did.
So in other words, it's not all black-eyed peas and fried chicken.
No, there's such a misconception of Southern cooking and where it is historically and what it is and all of that. And part of that is the Depression. Excuse me. Part of it is bad buffets in mountain restaurants that are not typical. They were just simply the only restaurants that we had because people all ate at home.
Right. Yeah, I've been known to belly up to a couple of southern buffets myself.
Right.
So the book itself, I'm looking here and I may be reading this wrong. Now, is Southern Biscuits and the one-armed cook, is that part of that book or is that a different book?
No, the one-armed cook, How to Make Dinner with a Baby on Your Hip, was my first book. Born out of necessity. So that's the first book that I did. And then Natalie and I were working on the big book, and we got to the section about biscuits, and lo and behold, without batting an eye, we had 31 biscuit recipes.
Wow.
And we said, okay, let's really have a look at this. We broke the recipe down into steps where we could really teach people how to make a great biscuit. And, for example, we worked on the language. If you tell someone to cut in the fat that's never seen a pie crust made or biscuits made, you know, they're going to go get a pair of scissors. So we actually found that cutting in the fat, if you use your fingers, it's really a snapping motion. So we worked on the language of biscuits, and then we said, this subject is worthy of an entire book by itself. So in the middle of this massive project, we stopped what we were doing and did the biscuit book. So it came out first, and then we kept going on the big book.
Is Natalie okay? I hear her coughing in the background. Natalie,
I'm here. It's a slight case of bubonic plague.
Oh, my gosh.
Been hanging over me since December.
I was going to yell and say, somebody call 911. I was making sure you're all right.
No, it's just, that's the way it is right now.
Yeah. Well,
I think I'm just one of those that got whatever it was that was going around, and it never got gone completely. So
if everybody wants to get these books, Cynthia, where can they find them?
Well, they can go to their local independent bookstore, who would be happy if they don't have it on the shelf to order for them. And it's at the major retailers, and, of course, you can order it online.
And if you want to get it, you can find it in the workout section, too, if you want to buy two of them, like you said, to do your workouts with. You say each one weighs 6.5 pounds. That's a hefty book.
You're going to
well,
have
it is, to, and it's one that – excuse me.
You'll have the best guns in town. You know, your arms are going to be so shapely after this.
That's it. But more than that, it's something that you'll always keep for ideas and for a real sense of what Southern cooking was and where it's going and what it will be. And
it also has the best bibliography of books about Southern food.
Oh, good. You know, I'm a barbecue guy, so that's kind of a Southern food and Southern cooking.
It's but you know, we don't stress barbecue a lot. We have a few, but mostly because that has been covered so thoroughly and has moved so much in so many directions that I have to admit we are not a barbecue book. And also, I hate to say this because I have this very lovely friend who is a barbecue cook and a woman, but Cynthia and I are not the kind of women that cook outside. We think we're sexist, and we think men should grill.
Well, I agree with you. I agree. It's like man and fire. I mean, it all goes together. It goes way back to the caveman. So, yeah, you ladies, stay inside and cut the fat and make biscuits. We'll be out there on the grill playing with the fire.
That's right. Women absolutely never cooked over a fire before. I'm sure you know that. No, seriously. Outside in Charleston it is not my idea of fun, cooking on a grill. So I definitely think that men should do it. And
I
like the wine and beer.
Yeah, right. My husband is wonderful, and he cleans and peels all the shrimp. I think that's a good reason for getting married. So I'm completely sexist, and I admit it gladly and happily. I think that men have definite roles in this life, and and I'm glad that you agree.
Well, yeah, at least we're good for something. That's
peeling
shrimp and cooking on the grill. I mean, at least we have a function.
Taking out the trash, absolutely.
Well, I was going to say that, but I decided it really sounded too sexist. But actually, my first marriage counselor in the days when things were very rigid, sexual roles were very rigid, and he made it clear to me that I should do the cooking and the washing and the scrubbing, and my husband should take out the trash and fix the car. You know, that absolutely was the kind of thing that preachers said to you when you were going through marriage counseling before you got married, was that everybody had these strict roles. And so I learned early that men were supposed to take out the trash.
And we do that very well. Now, Natalie, your background, I mean, you've had television shows and all kinds of things. Can you get, for people who may not be familiar with your works, what were some of the things that you've done in the past?
Well, Cynthia and I did about, I don't know how many hundred shows on Southern cooking. And then I've written for many newspapers and magazines. This is my my 13th book.
Wow.
Right now. And I've done, as you say, many television shows. I had a radio program on WCNN. So I've just had a little bit of everything. And and had a full career. I've had a great life of just investigating the things that I wanted to and pursuing the things that I thought were important. It's been very worthwhile to learn more about Southern cooking and to learn more about what the South really was. There's such a misconception of the food and of the people.
And Cynthia, it sounds like you've been busy too with these books, and you guys kind of sound like a dynamic duo.
we sound
great.
We take care of each other. Yes,
yes, yes.
So, yeah.
Well, everybody who wants to find your book, check it out. Like she said, in the retailers, and you say it's not on your website yet, nataliedupree.com. Is it any website?
I can't believe I haven't got it up there yet, but we've been running. I will say if you want to learn a technique, if there's something that's frustrated you about Southern cooking other than how to grill? We really go into that in detail. As Cynthia said, it's not just the biscuits and the cutting in the fat. It's also for biscuits. It's got to do with things like making a pie crust, with how to fry chicken. None of us do it very much, but what the frustrations of frying a chicken are, if you should want to, part of which is that they sell such big chickens now. How can you expect yourself to fry something that's twice the size of what your grandmother fried?
True.
So all of those things and how to work around that and all of that are in there because people get so frustrated with things like trying to do it, and they think it's simple, frying chicken. And it is simple, but it's not simple if you have the wrong size chicken and you don't know how hot the fat should be.
Right.
What we really want people to do is to give themselves permission to practice. We put these barriers up. We're afraid of things, and we put these walls up and just say, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that very well. And if you had a grandmother that made biscuits, your grandmother was great at making biscuits because she made them every day.
Exactly.
And she knew her oven. She knew her oven like the back of her hand.
Correct.
Oh, and I have owned the most evil oven ever, and I truly believe that people who describe themselves as terrible bakers really aren't. They have terrible ovens. And knowing your oven is so important. Natalie and I write about the toast test. We want you to lay out just plain old white loaf bread on a baking sheet and put it in a hot oven and watch the browning pattern develop, and you'll understand where your hot spots are in the oven, so that when you're cooking something and you need to speed up the process or get it browner or deal with the problem that your oven has, you're going to understand where that is in your oven and why you need to rotate a cake pan, why you need to rotate a biscuit pan halfway through baking to compensate for those things. But
even we're talking about caveman and grills actually are different. I have several grills, and each one will grill differently based on dampers and the lids and all that. So you're exactly right.
That's
ovens
right.
Are the key.
Yeah.
That's right, absolutely. And, there are so many confusions even in our jargon. As Cynthia said, there's the cut in. But another thing that is true is what's a chicken breast these days? And some books refer to a chicken chest. I mean, they call it a whole breast when what it really is a chicken chest. And because it's both sides of the chicken, not just one side of the breast, but they call it a breast. So people are so confused, even so confused about the nomenclature and what you're really referring to and what a recipe's referring to. And there's nothing worse than having too much by cooking whole chicken breasts for everybody in your family, which are really chicken chests, as I said, or whether or not it's too skimpy because you only cooked four breasts because you're intelligent when really the recipe writer was not very kind and put in there a whole breast.
Right.
So we get a lot of those things very clear in here about at least what we mean, and at least what the novice cook should question. You can cook anything if you know how to question what the writer says.
Right.
And what to figure out. Like, if you look at a recipe, and we all make mistakes in books, it's unfortunate, but that is, there are gremlins in emails, too, and Twitters. And so, but the main thing is, if you look at a recipe and you see that it's got a half a pound of ingredients per person in it, and the ingredients are not vegetables, but, you know, it's got more than a quarter of a pound of meat per person, and it's got, you know, an enormous amount of rice or pasta or something. You know, there's a cheese. You know, there's a mistake that it's going to serve more people than it says, or perhaps something got changed that shouldn't. Or if a recipe says 6 cups of brown sugar or 8 cups and, you know, 1 cup of flour, you might look at that again and say, this person, there's a mistake here. Can I figure it out? Or should I just move on? Or should I check out their website?
Well, I could say a very off-color, manly thing about knowing the difference between a breast and breasts and chest, but I won't.
Well, that's all right. We always feel a little embarrassed when we say it too, because the nomenclature is supposed to be, you know, it is really a confusing nomenclature, particularly I would think for men.
Right.
Yeah.
especially when it comes to chicken.
I have great sympathy for men not understanding what a whole chicken chest is. I think it's really cruel.
And as my grandmother always said, men don't understand breasts because they don't have any. So that.
Well, there is that too, and certainly they don't have any to cook. Do they?
Yes, that's true.
I mean, yeah,
well,
that's right.
Well, ladies, I appreciate you coming on our show, and I want to make sure everybody checks out your books, and I'm going to say the names again here. It's called Mastering the Art of Southern Cooking, and you also have other books. It's called Southern Biscuits and the One-Armed Cook, and you can find these in bookstore, retail bookstores. You can find them online, and Natalie, make sure you put that new book on your website at nataliedupree.com.
Yes, sir. I'm going to do it immediately, in a couple of weeks. Like you and, with your website.
Yes, I know it's tough. And we hope you really feel better and get over the bubonic plague.
Oh, I really feel fine. It's just the way I sound. And I really think it's a little sexy. You know, my husband doesn't mind it. So there we are.
You get that raspy voice. And Cynthia, thank you so much
for
joining us.
Yeah, anything that keeps you in the game at this age helps. So, all righty.
Well, it was a pleasure. And,
it was a pleasure to talk to you.
I'm at CynthiaGraubart.com.
All right. Thank you very much, everyone. Check out their websites. We appreciate it, ladies. And we're going to take a break for our next guest, who is Todd Berry, who's a country music singer. I'm going to be playing his song, If My System Works Here, called Politically Incorrect Redneck. And we'll be back here in a few minutes.
All right. Thank you.
I've always been a rebel from deep down in the South. Getting my share of trouble, what comes out of my mouth. I call them like I see them, baby, I come on too strong. You got your opinions, and the right to say I'm wrong. That's the way I am, what you see is what you get. I'm a free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck. I don't hate nobody, don't mean to stir things up. I don't use the right words, I ain't sensitive enough. It's gotten too damn easy to step on people's toes. You sugarcoat the truth or get sued before you know. No matter what I say, somebody gets upset with this free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck. Well, I'm sorry I'm so backward, so crude, so second class. Please help me out and tell me, what's the PC way to say kiss my ass? I wonder who these people are that sit around all day making up a list of words we can and cannot say. They got everybody thinking this should be the law. I've read the First Amendment, I know my rights, y'all. Well, call me civil-minded,
Well, that's what you expect from this free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck.
Tell them all they can kiss my grill. Go look that up in your PC dictionary. Oh, did I say something wrong? Oh, I'm so sorry.
And that was Todd Barry and Politically Incorrect Redneck, and we are going to have Todd on here in just a few minutes. We'd like to thank Natalie Dupree and Cynthia Groppert for being on our show again this morning. Check out their books and go to their websites. And Laurie, are you still with me or did I lose you in the process?
No, I'm still here.
All right. That was an excellent two interviews. We had. It's been a great show so far. And you can see I'm stalling from time. I'm trying to get our next guest on. So hang on 1 second, everybody. Here we go with Blog Talk Radio again. Let me make sure that we have our next guest, Todd Barry, and it's not going to work. It's trying. It's trying. So hang tight, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, there he is. Hey, it worked.
Hey, how's it going? Okay.
All right. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hi, Todd.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hey, Laurie, since I have Todd, I know you're a busy woman, whatever you do out there in Jersey and Jersey-style girls and food news and all that. If you have to go, I just want to make sure we had Todd before we proceed. You may depart and say your goodbyes unless you want to stick around.
No, I'll stick around for a little bit and hear what Todd has to say.
All right, well, I just want to make sure. Todd, thank you for coming on our show. I've been using that song, The Politically Incorrect Redneck, as an intro on some of my shows the last month or so when I first met you and got your music. And it kind of has a soft spot in my heart because it sounds like somebody I know, which is me. So
that sounds like a lot of us.
great song. And
right now that song is on YouTube. I have a video out on it, and it's over 9,000 views. So I would say there's a lot of people that like that.
Good for you. So tell us about Todd Barry. How long have you been singing, Todd?
I've been doing this since I was 10 years old. I started out. I'm originally from a little town called Muncie, Indiana, if you've heard of that.
Yes.
And I started doing music when I was 10 years old, and just started out as a hobby. And I did it at a family reunion once, and ever since then, people started wanting to hire me. You know, they were some were family members that had people that, you know, were looking for entertainment for different things. And it started out as a hobby, and here I am today doing it professionally. I'm toured all over the country, and I've opened up for some of the big names like Neil McCoy, Colin Ray, 1998. I was on Star Search. I got beat by Sawyer Brown.
I remember Sawyer Brown. So you were on Star Search in 98. Now, where did you finish in the actual end of the Star Search episode?
I was like second, you know what I mean, second place. So I still made a little bit of money. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad. Hey, you know, get beat by somebody like that, at least I made it that far.
Yeah, really. Now, did the song Politically Incorrect Redneck, did you write that song?
No, actually, a songwriter out of Nashville named Tom Tate wrote that song. And he's got a lot of great songs. I recorded an album with my last label I was with. Right now, I run my own label now, but I recorded recorded an album with Spotlight Records.
Right.
I was with them for about 4 years, and we just kind of just departed this last past year. And I did an album with them, and I did four of Tom Payton's songs on there because he's got a lot of great music. So,
yeah, it's a really great song. I actually saw the video, and I posted the video on my Facebook page, and it's an excellent video, folks. If you're listening, check out, just go to YouTube and punch in Todd Berry, and his songs come up, and that's a great video. So what are your plans for the future, Todd? What are you working on?
I'm working on a current new album that's going to be coming out here real soon, and I just started my own record company. I've always been a believer in the other artists, too, as well as myself. So I produce other artists of all styles of music. You know, a lot of people that do country music, they're kind of straight-minded. You know, they stick to country and they don't open their minds up to other music. And anymore, if you listen to country music, it's not country.
No.
it's classic rock and hip-hop.
Exactly.
And everything else you can think of mixed together in one.
Exactly.
So you got to open your mind up, you know.
You can hear country music songs, and like you say, in rock. You can hear it in pop. You can hear it in all the different, you know, it used to be country was kind of twangy and had its own kind of country western is what my dad used to call it. But nowadays, it's all over the board.
Right. And that's opened up the doors to the youth. It's brought a lot of younger people over to country music. It's like me. I grew up with a 50s and 60s rock, you know what I mean? Rock and roll,
right.
Like Elvis and Buddy Holly and all the old stuff I grew up with, because my mom played all that stuff when I was a kid. So I grew up around that. But then I had an older brother, and he played Poison and Metallica and Guns N' Roses. So so I got to hear a little bit of everything. So therefore that comes out in my music, you know, because it's just I got a little bit of southern rock going on, but at the same time I got, you know, that deeper baritone voice like the 50s, like Elvis and that type of thing.
Well, you got good music, and I'm going to play another one of your songs right now. You might want to tell us a little bit about this song. The song is called Things a Man Needs to Say. Did you write that or someone else write that?
A friend of mine out of Indiana named Randy Martin, he co-wrote it with another guy named Rick Tiger, and they wrote that song. And when I heard it, I was like, man, all us guys can relate to this song.
Yes, we can. I want to play.
We say the wrong things half the time. You know what I mean.
Everybody, hang tight now. Hey, Todd, I'm about to leave your mic open, so because we're having some issues, technical issues. So just so you know that your mic is still alive when I play your song. But we're going to play the next one here. It's Todd Berry, Things a Man Needs to Say, and if everything works right, it should start here right about now. And it's not going to. Here we go. Hang on. There we go.
Every line, all
And that was Todd Berry, Things a Man Needs to Say. And Laurie, I bet you're over there
that's
sobbing, aren't you?
Unbelievable. What a beautiful song. Todd, you're so talented.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Really good stuff. And I thought that's an excellent song. And Todd, I'm not sure why you're not filling up stadiums all by yourself. You got great music. I wanted to tell you that the other day when I was listening to your music when I was loading on radio show, and it's great stuff. And I know you're working with some new promotional people and things. And I think you've got an interesting sound, and it's just the music just is really good. Like I said, the Politically Incorrect Redneck, I love that song. I really love, and the other one I'm going to play here shortly about the soldier. Great music. And so I'll tip my hat to you, and I'll make sure that our listeners check out your website, toddberryonline.com. So when are you going to be coming out with the new album?
I'm not sure on the date yet, but here probably in the next few months. Like I said, I'm an independent artist, and that's part of my thing is, you know, when you're trying to put out music and do all the duplication, you know how that is, trying to get
right.
It pressed and all those things. Those things take money, and as you know, when you're starting out, it's a tough business, you know.
I would say as far as the talent goes, you already got that in the works. It's just a matter of getting the right place at the right time with the right in front of the right people. But it really is good stuff. Now, this is a food show, Todd, so I have to ask you, do you do any cooking? Are you a griller or anything like that?
Well, I'm legally blind, so you don't want a blind guy cooking anything.
You
might burn
the
house down. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I was born legally blind, and I never let it hold me back from what I do is music, and that's the difference between me, I guess, and probably other people you've had on your show is this is all I got, you know.
Wow.
What I do for a living, and that's all I got. So if I don't go out and sing, you know, I won't be eating anyway. So.
I did not know that. That's amazing. So do you have someone that you live with that cares for you and does the cooking for you?
Yeah, I got my fiance, she drives me around a lot, and then I've got other people that I work with, you know, do shows, then they help me out, so.
Wow.
It works out pretty good, but, I just don't let nothing hold me back from what I love to do, and that's music, so.
Well, between you and me and the listeners, sometimes when I cook, people probably think I'm blind, too, because some of the stuff that I come up with, it doesn't look so good, taste so good.
Well, you know me, I just got a microwave, and that works when she's not around. Then I just find something I can microwave up.
Well, tell me about this next song I'm going to play. It's called Where a Soldier Stands. What's the background story about that song?
That song was written about a soldier that I knew. His name was Andrew Whittaker. He was out of Bryant, Indiana. And I wrote that song. I found out about it, about him. He was over in Iraq, and he was killed. He was going back to do another search for his captain. They were trying to find his captain, and he went to find his captain, and he got hit by a sniper.
Hmm.
So it's really a sad story, and when I heard about it, his family, you know, was telling me, and I didn't know him real well, just kind of like acquaintance, and the song just came to me. I was like, you know, a lot of people don't understand where a soldier stands, you know.
Right.
Well, you know, some of us will never know what that's like, you know.
Right.
and that's why I wrote the song.
Well,
and I wrote the song like in like 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, songs.
Did you really?
Songs like that come to me just like when it's an emotional moment or something.
Right.
It'll come to me just like that. It's like when my grandpa passed away. I wrote a song about my grandpa that passed away, and I was at his funeral, and the chorus came to me when I was standing there. Yeah, I'm just that type of person. You know, when I go through something.
Right.
If I write about it, it helps me make it through that situation.
This is an excellent song, and I can't believe you wrote this in just 10 or 15 minutes. And I'm going to play this next as long as my system allows me to do this. And here we go. This is Todd Berry.
And I like to dedicate it to the soldiers too. You know, let all the soldiers out there and all the other forces, you know, other than that.
Joining us this morning. Todd, excellent music.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate it. You know, it came from the heart. You know, I think about all those soldiers out there right now fighting for us, and we can't forget that, especially with the way things are going with our country right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Definitely. It's a great tribute to soldiers out there. And Todd, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and I want everyone to check out Todd's website, toddberryonline.com. You can also find Todd on Facebook and check out his video on YouTube for the Politically Incorrect Redneck, my favorite song. And Todd, you're welcome to come on when, again, when you cut your new album. Keep me posted.
Okay, yeah, I also want to let everyone know, too. I also want to let everyone know, too, about my new record label, because that's going real good, because I'm going to be using my own record label to produce my music as well as my artists. I've got four different artists that I have signed with my label. And, and I'm working on in the process of starting a talent search. It's going to be like America's Got Talent, but it's going to be like for smaller towns. And it's going to be pretty cool to find new talent, because, you know, a lot of us are out there trying to do what we do. We never get nowhere with it because it's just hard. Unless you got a lot of money behind it, it's hard to get out there and get noticed.
Well, you know that you're always welcome to bring yourself or any of the talent that you find along the way on the show. We're not a big, giant radio show, but we have a following, and if we can help in any way to play people's music and bring them to the spotlight in our own little way, you're welcome to always bring them on.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to send some stuff to you in the future here as soon as I get some things together. So.
All right, well, appreciate it. We thank you for coming on the show, and everyone.
Hey, it was an honor to be on your show.
All right, well, thank you. Take care. Everyone check out Todd's website, and you take care.
All right, God bless you guys. Thanks.
And there you go. That's Todd Berry. Everyone, please make sure you go check out his website. He's got great stuff, and it sounds like he's got a lot of things in the works. And, Laurie, it's just fantastic news. That's what's so neat about this show. We find people. I've always said so many talented people out there. It's just finding the right place, and it ain't what you know. It ain't who you know. It's but who knows you.
And I'm so glad I stayed on longer to listen to him. He is just a beautiful human being. I can't believe, I mean, just so talented and kind and, yep, good job.
Yes, great guest. And everyone, thank you, too. I wanted to mention that if you didn't see on Facebook, we were ranked number one slot in the cooking category of Blog Talk Radio again this past week, so that's 2 weeks in a row. And thank you for everyone for listening in and supporting our show, and also thank you to all the guests, and thank you to you, Laurie, and also Aaron. Looks like Aaron wasn't able to make it in to our show this morning because he's out there filming that that video for Sunset Circus. But Laurie, thank you again for bringing us the I guess you brought us wine news today, and we'll look forward to having you on next week with some more food news.
Great, thanks for having me.
All right,
have a great day.
Thank you. Everybody, make sure you, if you have any, if you want to hear replays, you can always hear replays of our show. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/brilliantideas, and all of our shows are there. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we are going to have a new website to make it simpler for you to find past guests. And as soon as I get off my rear end and get that going, and thank you again for joining us each and every Saturday. Next week, we'll be having Tonda back, who's our Cheese Whiz lady, and we've got Brian, who's our Wine Czar, and we've got some more special guests, musical guests coming on next week. So thanks again for everyone joining us, and I want to close out the show this morning with Aaron English's song, if everything works here just right, called Believe. Everyone have a nice weekend, and we'll see you next week.
take all we love away, and we grieve and grieve again. But we let each other go, we let each other leave. What else are we to do? What are we to believe?
Life on the moon, and the sun, the moon, the sea, and in you I do believe. Oh.